and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. At some time or other, everybody's been discovered doing something they shouldn't do.
Filthy swine.
For instance, no matter how careful I am, whenever I totter home from my local, my wife always knows where I've been. Because every time I breathe out, the whole place reeks of peppermints and chlorophyll.
I remember when I was discovered in the woods with a girl guide. Precisely. You see, I was a scout at the time, and I was exchanging notes about my knots with Cynthia. Precisely. And just as we got down to her granny's, her father turned up, and that's where I made my fatal mistake. Precisely. I jumped to my feet, and I gave him the scout salute.
Yes, well, leaving romance aside, there are many things that have been discovered.
Yeah, well, I've discovered one thing for a start. You know Commander Weatherby from security?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I've discovered that he sings in his bath.
That I'd love to hear.
Right, you shall. Usually it's, I'm forever blowing bubbles. But coming from him, it sounds like this, see?
I'm forever blue.
I, for one, don't care about it, so I'm a kinky foam bath man myself. Anyway, you shouldn't be standing around here talking to me. You should be far too busy sailing trunk bridge back from Sardinia.
Assuming that we're not going down a one-way channel, and allowing for a nor'easterly up our pharaohs, they're the people who live next door to the Cromarties. They often play whist together. Not the Egyptian pharaohs, because they're dead anyway. Now if we hoist over our fastnets, I reckon that Portsmouth should be that way, or that way, or that way, but definitely not that way, because that's where we've just come from. So what we need now is a touch of the old, left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit, eventually it is, sir.
The awful thing is, he calls this navigation. If you think you can do better, sail on. See if I care.
No. I hate to interfere. The only thing that baffles me is how you know that Sardinia is behind us and why we're not sailing that way.
I'm not a fool, you know. I've checked my charts. The moon is in the right quarter. Capricorn is in the ascendancy to Virgo. And in any case, if Portsmouth was that way, we'd be steaming backwards, and that can't possibly be right.
Why not? You should do.
Don't argue with him, Chief. Just wait until he rings up the AA and asks for a route map.
How dare you suggest that? I'm an RAC man. They got a prettier badge.
Your bridge? Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein chatting.
Yes, Goldstein?
I'm glad you're in, because I wanted a word, sir. How many men are you in command of, sir?
14 officers and 175 men.
Making 189 in all, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
Wrong. You've got 191. And one of them's a bird. Come on, own up. Whose is it?
Just a minute. We've got a bird aboard. Mr. Phillips,
Not guilty.
Chief?
I never touched it.
No, no, you must be mistaken, Goldstein. Mr. Phillips and the chief don't know anything about the bird.
Well, that leaves you then, doesn't it? She must be yours.
You sexy swan.
Certainly not. Goldstein, what are you talking about?
Well, I hate to interrupt you in mid-chat, but I thought you ought to know you've got a couple of stowaways on board.
What?
Worrying, isn't it?
I don't see why, Goldstein. She's nothing to do with me.
That's your story.
Goldstein, once and for all, I remind you that I'm happily married to Wheatikins. I mean, Mrs. Murray. She's my entire life. She occupies all my thoughts. I love her. I'm not interested in smuggling bits of... I don't want any spare crumbs. One bird? Who's the other stowaway?
A foreigner. Leastways, he's not Welsh. And I was wondering when you'd get round to asking about him. They say they're two of the missing scientists who've been mysteriously disappearing lately.
Goldstein, who are they? Where are these stowaways?
Greetings to those within, from the three of us who are without.
Coming, Hartwright, coming. Here, who are the other three?
Two, actually. They're both scientists, and one's a bird.
One's a bird!
You could tell she's a scientist. She's got a figure like a test tube.
Yeah, a bit thin on the Bunsen burners and all.
I realize that it comes as a surprise unto you, as it did unto me. But may I introduce Professor White?
Pleased to meet you. I can't thank you enough for saving us.
Professor White and Paul.
Thank heavens you rescued us. Please don't put us ashore in Sardinia again. I'll do anything. Anything. Look. I'm undoing my blouse.
Yeah, stop. Whoa.
Spoil sport.
What is going on? What are you two people doing aboard my ship?
It was awful. We were held captive for 6 months in the secret headquarters of the infamous head of an international spy team.
Not the master.
None other.
That's ridiculous. We've blown him up 3 times.
Gosh, there's nothing for it. This time we shall have to be really sure. We shall have to destroy him once and for all.
Well, you'll have to act fast. He intends to take over the world.
He's kidnapped all the world's top scientists, including Professor White and myself, and forced us to work in his little-known on-the-ground laboratory.
Oh, you mean you were locked in, like the three old ladies.
Laboratory.
Oh, so kind. Chat on.
Right. This time, I am ready for the master. He's going to rue the day that he ever crossed swords with the Royal Navy and Lieutenant Commander Murray. This time, there will be no holds barred. This time, I intend to put paid to the menace of the master once and for all. This time, the gloves are off. This time, it'll be a fight to the death. It'll be him or me. Only one of us will survive.
Lummy, what are you going to do?
I have no idea. I rather hope one of you would come up with something.
Yeah, well, I have, sir. Pull head both, and let's put as much salt water between him and us as possible.
No. What James Bond would do is to sail straight back to Sardinia and beard the little lion on his egg.
No, not that. Anything but that. I couldn't go through it all again. Every night it was the same. It come to my bedroom. Gusts, I was undoing my blouse. Like this. First the top button. Then the second.
Whoa! Spare us the lurid.
Pardon?
I was using the term loosely. Details. Calm down, madam. I promise you, as an officer and a gentleman, it'll never happen to you again.
Oh, blast.
It was absolutely ghastly. He had us all working on a totally unknown and revolutionary nerve gas. But he knows there is one missing factor. And Professor Hall and I are the only ones who have the solution to his problem.
That sounds like the master only too well. The rotten swine.
Just one sniff of this gas and it makes you absolutely... absolutely rigid. You can't move. You can't even undo your blouse. Like this.
No.
Like this.
I think we know what we're up against. It's going to be dangerous.
Well, he doesn't frighten me. I've been caught by his terrifyingly efficient organization before. And outwitted them. Don't forget, who was responsible for destroying the Master's own personal hydrofoils, Mark 1, 2, and 3? Me. Who was it who destroyed his three warehouses that were supposed to be full of kimonos, but were actually full of bombs? Me. Who was it who taught him navigation and caused him to sink in the Solent? Me.
And who is it who's plump enough to get captured every time we get near the Master?
Me.
No.
Oh, that was sneak.
Well, try and keep out of his way this time, because as soon as I get permission from the Ministry of Defense, we're sailing straight back to Sardinia to confront the Master and beard the lion on his egg.
Heads up, Agent Number 2. Here comes the Master.
Good day, Agents Number 1 and 2. And when I say good day, it better stay that way. If you want to live.
CC Master.
CC Master.
I am not a CC. Thanks to you, you clever boys, as a result of our last debacle, I was made to look a right Charlie. You'll recall that it was the absent Number 3's idea that I rescued Agent Number 8 from the dreaded Chateau d'If dungeon.
Cici.
Cici.
Oh, do stop saying that. If you want to live. Number 3 worked out a diabolically clever plan, and all was well. I was to own up to a non-existent, dastardly crime, which I did, and all was well.
Cici.
Cici.
This way, clever boy Number 3 reckoned with luck that I would be cast into the cell next door to Agent Number 8 and assist him to escape, which I was, and which I did, and all was well.
Cici.
The plan was simplicity itself. I starved myself for 3 weeks. Because I needed my knife and fork to tunnel through the wall to Number 8 cell. Which I did. And all was well.
See? See?
Number 3's plan continued that with the aid of a file cunningly concealed in my left sock and which took all the skin off my ankle every time I moved, Number 8 and I were to file through the iron bars of his cell window, and once outside, there would be a 3-foot drop onto the deck of my personal hydrofoil Mark IV, and all would be well.
See, see.
This Number 8 and I did. We stood on the ledge. We braced ourselves. And we jumped, but all was not well. Number 3 had made a slight mathematical error. Instead of 3 feet, it was 300 feet.
Oh, caramba. Oh, caramba, me too.
Caramba, me too, you clever boys. After what seemed like an eternity of plunging down and down, feet first, at 50 miles an hour, I and Number 8 overtook a seagull with no help. It was then that my nose started to bleed and my ears began to pop, and we continued downwards because there seemed to be no alternative. Until, with unerring aim, we hit the deck of my personal hydrofoil, Marthor, went straight through and continued on our way down through the staterooms, the galley, and out of the bottom of the hull. Like a rocket.
Oh, caramba.
Oh, caramba.
Stop saying that, you clever boys. As a result, my personal hydrofoil, Marthor, sank like a stone. And if the prison governor hadn't been such an excellent swimmer and rescued us, we'd have been drowned.
All was well.
All was not well. For the prison governor put us back in the rattle. So thanks to Number 3, I did 6 months for not committing a non-existent crime. Now, you clever boys, to the new business on hand, which you will complete successfully and unquestioned if you want to live.
Sea Master.
Sea Master.
If you say that once again, it'll be a place of Sea Master and die. It is come to my notice that Professors White and Hall have escaped from my terrifyingly efficient organization. And both of them hold the vital key to my revolutionary nerve gas. Now, it is essential that Professors White and Hall return to my fold without delay. That is your task, clever bosses. I can't see how they could have escaped from the island, so you will search every trattoria, ice cream parlor, and spaghetti bolognese bachelor's palace. You will search and search until you find them. It shouldn't take long. They may be highly educated, but they've got to eat. So, clever boys, I shall now leave you. When I rule the world.
One more cup of cappuccino and one more forkful of 18-foot-long spaghetti and I'm going to be sick.
Yes, honestly, you think that someone like the master who runs a terrifyingly efficient organization would have traced us by now. This is the 26th cafe, 45th cup of coffee, and 200 yards worth of spaghetti we've been in, drunk, and lassoed ourselves with tonight.
Don't remind me. I mean, we couldn't have made ourselves more obvious. We've left visiting cards all over Sardinia addressed to the master, telling him where we'll be and that we'd like to meet him to do a deal.
Perhaps it's us. James Bond never had all this trouble contacting his enemies. A quick chat from M, a short, sharp lesson in karate chopping, a cozy cuddle with some crumpet, and he's off. He's off with his Beretta in his hand.
That settles it. If the master or his agents don't turn up before long, I'm going on a diet.
You think they'd have found us by now?
Perhaps. Perhaps we should be grateful that he hasn't.
What do you mean?
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
We're going into deadly danger. One doesn't tangle lightly with the head of a terrifyingly efficient organization like the master.
I understand, sir. You're thinking of Rita Kings. I mean, Mrs. Murray. I jolly well tackle them alone.
Don't be an impetuous fool.
I insist.
I forbid it. I'm sorry. It's no good. As your commanding officer, I'm responsible for your welfare.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to insist on meeting this swine and beating him at his own game. Alone.
No! I've made up my mind, Mr. Phillips. This is not a job for one man alone. Together, side by side, in England's name, you and I, side by side, are facing the greatest challenge mankind and civilization have ever known. We should not flinch from our duty. We will take these swine by the scruffs of their necks and shake them. Like a terrier shaking a rat. Through our superhuman efforts, the master shall not tarnish humanity. Let them attack us one by one or in their hordes, and they will not find our endeavors wanting. Come hell or high water, those dogs of perdition shall not pass.
There's just one thing you've forgotten, sir. They haven't turned up.
Oh. Order some more spaghetti while we're waiting.
Don't bother.
Lummy, it's the master's agents, number one and two.
Silencio, this time you will follow us.
We're fed up with the picking up your visiting card, telling us you just left and went to somewhere else.
All day we've been at one trattoria behind. We're full up to here with all of that damn spaghetti and a coffee.
This way. Follow us to the master's underwater lair, where, in the master's own words, you will reveal all about the missing scientist's whereabouts.
If you want to live.
You know, I'm so glad that you two clever nautical boys have decided to cooperate with none other than me. The master and my terrifyingly efficient organization. I think you were very wise. If you want to.
Now, steady on. We haven't actually agreed to anything.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, but you will. Oh, but you will, because if you don't, I shall feed you both to Fred, Charlie, Sid, Albert, and the rest of my personally selected school of man-eating sharks swimming around.
Nasty.
See, they can do with a change. Like all of us, they're fed up with eating that damn spaghetti.
Tom,
Aren't you afraid that window might break and all the water and the sharks will come pouring in?
Oh, no, not at all, no. No, it's fully guaranteed and it came from Harry.
Gosh, with Fred, Charlie, Sid and Albert floating about out there, I bet you lose an awful lot of window cleaners.
My word, you are a clever boy. It never dawned on me before, so that's why they never knock on the front door for the money.
I've got the solution. I saw it in a film once. There was this doctor.
Who?
No, not No, this chap was a good actor. Doctor, no.
You watch it, clever boy. Just you watch it if you want to live.
Anyway, this Doctor No had an office outside a great big fish tank, just like you had. And he struck a bargain with another chap. It wasn't like us chaps, because he wasn't in the Royal Navy. Now, I could tell he wasn't, because he hadn't got a uniform on, you see. Now, unless he'd taken it off, of course, before the film started. Now, come to think of it, he might have done, because we never saw inside his wardrobe. Not that I make a habit of going round prying into people's wardrobes. I reckon a chap can keep whatever a chap likes in a chap's wardrobe, even if it's his bank manager. A chap's wardrobe is private and sacrosanct. Sacrosanct, yes, sacrosanct. Now, that's an interesting word. Funny enough, they gave the derivation of that word in my comic last week.
Oh, dear, Noddy's off again.
In my opinion, he's a raving nut.
No, this is jolly interesting. Sacrosanct. Sac, as in race, or the thing you fill up with coal. If you've got any, that is. Rose, as in cod, or to smell as sweet as. Unless you happen to be sitting on two thorns at the time. And finally, sanct, which is the past tense of sink. As in washing up or where you do your smalls.
Now, let me see if I've got this right, clever boy. According to you, the word sacrosanct means that somebody called Rosie is sitting in the sink with a sweet-smelling cod who's just delivered a sack of coals in her smalls.
Exactly. Now, that's another interesting word.
What is?
Exactly. Eggs, the things people lay. Sorry, the things hens lay. Act.
Oh, shut up! Well, now, Master, Sinister Gentleman, the bargain Mr. Phillips was trying to explain was perfectly simple.
Told me.
Mr. Phillips was suggesting that if you release the rest of the world's top scientists still in your power, Mr. Phillips will persuade Professors White and Fall to hand over an envelope containing the missing factor in your nerve gas program to you in your personal hydrofoil Mark V at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning without reservation once Mr. Phillips has had confirmation that the other scientists are free.
It's a deal, gentlemen. You have my extremely dodgy word for it. Till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, then I'll agree to anything, as long as you don't hand over that ghastly woman scientist who will insist on undoing her blouse at the drop of anybody's hat.
Well, the master should have your envelope by now, containing the missing factor. But what I can't understand is why you're both so readily agreed to hand over such vital information.
We have no choice. I'd do anything to avoid going back and falling into the master's clutches again. But awful, I tell you, awful. All day long, he kept on creeping up behind me, covering my neck with kisses, whilst his arms came over my shoulders and began to undo my blouse. First this button, then this button, and finally...
Whoa! Just a minute! If you recall the handing over of the missing factor, which was the last ingredient, was our idea and suggestion.
Professor White and I are banking on the fact that if the master is coming back to undo my blouse buttons. Like this. And this. And this?
Whoa! He won't have realized or noticed that the last ingredient should have been added to the gas containers at the latest 24 hours ago.
That wasn't in the film I saw. What difference does that make?
Well, quite a bit, really. Knowing the master intimately, he won't be able to wait before he adds the ingredient, gets the stuff on board his personal Hydrofall Mark V, and ships it to whichever foreign power he's working for this week.
I still don't see what difference the 24-hour time lag makes to adding the ingredient. Well, I think you will quite shortly. It converts it from nerve gas into unstable nitroglycerine, which will blow up at the slightest jolt.
Here, I don't want to worry anybody, but here he comes now. I want to see the drums move nasty on the back. Everybody down!
Well, there's only one thing we can do now.
Oh, what's that, Mr. Phillips, sir?
Take off our hats and have a whip round for the master's personal hydrofoil, Mark VI.